At 8:23, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Hundreds of people last night gathered for a candlelight vigil to mourn a Dallas police officer. Rogelio Santander died Wednesday from his injuries after being shot the day before while assisting with an arrest at a Home Depot in the Lake Highlands area. About 50 police officers from Garland, Mesquite, and Richardson helped patrol Northeast Dallas streets so Santander's colleagues could be with each other without worrying about work. A public visitation for Santander will be held Monday at Cathedral Guadalupe in Dallas. His funeral follows Tuesday at Lake Point Church in Rockwall. A new Health and Human Services Commission report found Texas served more people in its women's health and family planning programs last year than in the previous year. KERA's Christina Martinez reports.
The Healthy Texas Women Program provides reproductive health and family planning services for low-income women. Planned Parenthood was removed as a provider from the program in 2011. That same year, lawmakers cut more than $73 million from the family planning budget. As a result, the number of women served dropped, and the state's been working to add more providers to the program. This latest report from the Health and Human Services Commission has some bright spots. It found more than 122,000 were served through the Healthy Texas Women Program in the 2017 fiscal year. That's up from about 70,000 the previous fiscal year. The number of women enrolling in the program also doubled, and the family planning program is also serving more people. The commission says because of the two programs, Texas is projected to save millions of dollars on Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program. Despite these positive numbers, it's unknown whether the number of women accessing these services has returned to pre-2011 levels. Christina Martinez, KERA News.
Ed Jamison has now led the Dallas Animal Services Department for 6 months. That milestone came days after a woman was mauled by four loose dogs in South Dallas. She survived, but the attack again highlighted the long-standing problem of loose dogs in that area. In our Friday conversation, KERA's Rick Holter talked to Jamison about what his department's doing to curb the issue.
You arrived in the middle of what's been called the surge, a $13 million private effort to spay and neuter tens of thousands of dogs. Is that making a difference?
I think it's making a huge difference. I think there are challenges that have come up. There's a culture way of thinking. A lot of people in the South don't understand the importance of having your animals spayed or neutered.
What do dog owners say about why they don't vaccinate or microchip or spay and neuter?
There's the old school stereotypes that, they should have one litter, makes them healthier, and there's a lot of things that just are not true. It just has not been brought across that their animals actually will be healthier and they will have less nuisance behaviors once their animal is altered. The risk of cancer drops dramatically with females once they're spayed. Rabies, by law, it has to be administered by a licensed veterinarian. So there are some people who get self-vaccinations, and they believe their animal is vaccinated. Here in Texas, rabies is way more prevalent than a lot of other areas of the country, so it's extremely important on their health. If they get bit by their own dog and it is positive for rabies, they will contract rabies, and there's no reversing it once you get it. So that's a public health issue right there.
When something like this month's attack happens, doesn't that set back your efforts a bit, especially with memories still fresh of the woman who was killed by dogs last year?
First, I wanted to say how our thoughts and prayers are with the family. That is a terrible, terrible thing for anybody. I want every resident of Dallas to feel safe walking down the street. What's frustrating on our part is that we've seen reports of people saying those dogs have been out before, and we had not been notified of that. Mm-hmm. We were notified in October. We went, we picked up a dog. We were not able to tie it back to that house or to that owner, but that's the only call that we had. I think that people don't realize that we need them to call 311. We generate our proactive calls and patrols based on those calls that come in, and this really just came to this person needed to contain his animals, and, this situation never would have happened if those animals were just contained properly.
Now, the city issues warrants to owners of dangerous animals. I understand there are something like 10,000 of those warrants outstanding right now. Does that system need to change?
And I think that that's not just in the animal world. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's unique to Dallas. I think that courts systems all over the country run a certain percentage of people who don't respond to their citations. We are just actively going through with the process to try to close the loop on these outstanding ones that we have, particularly our frequent flyers that we like to say. There are some people that literally had tens and tens and tens of citations from us that they never dealt with. The reality is you need to take care of those because the marshals will be at your door at some point. They're going to take you to jail. And again, I welcome today. I want this city to look at us as a resource. So the enforcement portion of it, I would much rather have it be where, look, let us help you before it reaches a level like that.
I understand that surge actually led to a number of people, not just you, but a number of veterinarians coming to Dallas, seeing, hey, there's money to be made spaying and neutering.
Yeah, there's a nationwide shortage of veterinarians, but I think it has brought an attention just the volume of work. We're hiring. We created more spots for veterinarians and are constantly looking for them in-house. Medically, I think that it does show that the city of Dallas is extremely serious about it. So there's opportunities for people in the veterinary field.
You ran animal services in Cleveland before this. What's the biggest lesson you've learned since moving to Dallas?
I think getting information to people. Again, I really think most people are good at heart. And so trying to approach them in a non-authoritative way to show them that we're on their side. And we have a lot of work to do. Again, that's north and south. We're their friend. We're on their side. That the city takes this very serious, the issues involving animals. I mean, it's one thing to pass a law and just say deal with it on your own. It's one of the things that drew me to Dallas was the fact that the city was saying we're willing to help every single resident in getting into the compliance here. If you're a good animal owner, there's a good chance you're going to be a better neighbor.
Do you have a dog?
I do. I have a dog. I have four cats, and we're constantly fostering as well, too. So,
so soft heart.
Yeah, a little bit, yes.
Ed Jamison is Animal Services Director for Dallas. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Forecast calls for mostly sunny skies with a high near 78 today.